Grace and peace from God our Father and from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
Amen.
Our Lord is always healing the wrong people on the wrong day, keeping the wrong company, eating with the wrong crowd, and now here he is talking with the wrong person in the wrong place. He asks a woman for a drink of water, and she was a Samaritan. Now, if it were me, well, I wouldn't take a glass of water from that person if it were the last glass of water on earth. But Jesus doesn't deal with us like we deal with one another. He doesn't let man-made boundaries of hatred and enmity get in his way. He walks right into Samaria. He strikes up a conversation with a woman, and then he dares to ask her to share her water. With Jesus, there are no random meetings. He plans the time, he plans the place, and because he is there for this Samaritan woman, you can be sure that he's there for you as well. So it's no accident that this woman ends up there at the well. She is thirsty too. But she has a much more profound thirst than she realizes, a thirst that she's been trying to quench for years, and one that always had her searching, always had her drinking from the wrong well. She comes at a time of day when no one else is typically there, and she's probably relieved when she does find that the person who is there is at least a stranger. After all, she's that woman. You know, that woman with the reputation, that woman with the 5 failed marriages, that one with the that after getting burned 5 times decides it's better just to live with the guy. But we don't know her story. Maybe she just became bored with marriage, and in her unquenchable thirst for life and love and security began jumping from one marriage to another. Or perhaps she fell victim to men who really weren't men, men whose word was no good, men whose promises meant absolutely nothing, men for whom it was easier just to write that certificate of divorce and be on their way when a little effort was required in the marriage. We don't know her story other than what John gives us, and John really doesn't give us a whole lot. Now, why is that? I suspect it's because the more specific John is about this woman, the less specific you have to be about yourself. Your thirst is no different than hers. You are thirsty for life. You run here and there like that woman at the well, maybe not chasing down 5 spouses, but running nonetheless, looking for something, looking for someone who's finally going to satisfy. We grow restless. We want the new, the neat, the novel, the new job, a new hobby, a new gadget, always chasing, never quite getting. Now, there's nothing wrong with those first article gifts that God gives us until those gifts become your well, until they become your source of life and your source of hope, until they become the means that you use to try and quench that thirst that is never quite satisfied. Maybe you're thirsty because you've been chasing after some self-serving sort of love as defined by this world. Maybe you're thirsty because you've been tossed about by others and discarded and rejected when you no longer serve their needs. All of which leaves us as prime targets for Satan's temptation to despair. No one cares. No one's going to make you happy. You're never going to be satisfied. You're always going to be thirsty. You are the woman at the well, crying out, "I thirst," in a parched desert of this fallen and sin-filled world. But then Jesus comes saying, "If only you knew the gift of God, if only you knew who is standing in front of you today, you would have asked him, and he would have given you living water, water that would quench your thirst forever." And just like he did with Nicodemus, Jesus teaches. It's not water from this well, but the living water that comes from above, the living water of Jesus. That's the water that finally satisfies, and that's the water that begins to quench the thirst of this parched woman's life. Whoever drinks from this water will never thirst. But Jesus has some work to do first. First, this woman must know the source of her thirst, and Jesus spells it out pretty clearly. Go and get your husband, he says. Oh, but I don't have a husband. That's right, you've had five husbands, and the guy you're living with now, well, he's not your husband either. Jesus doesn't waste a whole lot of time, does he? So how is this adulterous life working out for you? Now, there's a reason that Jesus does and says what he does and says. He shows the woman her sin so that he might reveal to her her Savior. Her thirst, and for that matter, your thirst, is the dying thirst of a sinner. And the only water that quenches that dying thirst is the living water of Jesus. His death is your death. His resurrection is your resurrection. Here is the Christ. Here is God in the flesh who makes you right with your heavenly Father. He washes you with the clean water that flows from his side. He sheds his blood to cover you with his own righteousness. He gives you the water of holy baptism and the wine of his supper to satisfy your thirst forever. He loves you like no other. He serves you like no other. He saves you and he takes you to himself. This unnamed woman met Jesus at a well in Samaria, and there she encountered God. And she drank from the well of salvation, which is Jesus Christ. Come. Come and drink deeply of God's holy word. Be quenched by the waters of your baptism. Have your thirst for life satisfied in the cup of the Lord's Supper. Your thirst is quenched in Jesus. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus.